You're listening to Dundalk's local community radio.
You're listening to the Sports Academy on Dundalk FM 97.7 and online. Sponsored by CX Sports, the home of champions. Sevens Cabs and Coach Hire, keeping Dundalk moving. And Fifes, proud sponsors of Dundalk FC.
Yes, folks, you're very welcome along to the Sports Academy. This is John Murphy with you for 2 hours of our local sport. Coming up on the show, well, what a wonderful couple of days for Dundalk with a victory last night over Bray. And last Tuesday night, well, they earned their ticket to the Aviva Stadium in November with a brilliant victory over the mighty Shamrock Rovers. Now, I'm delighted to welcome my soccer panel today. Robbie Rafferty will be in at 5, jogs me memory every Saturday here, and Richie Ford, while the Gales are in a big, big final, I'm sure we'll be talking about that. And you, the listener, well, you can also have your say by texting 0870909791, or you can phone in on 93951100. And as I always say, this is your show as well as ours, so if you have anything to say about Dundalk, anything at all, well, we're here to help. And as I said, on the week that Dundalk qualified for the FAI Cup final against Cork City in the Aviva Stadium on the first Sunday in November the 5th, I'm delighted to welcome back my soccer panel, Roy Mackin in the corner, Gussie Herty in the middle, and Nicky Herty here, or Nicky McCourt just beside me. And of course, the boys will express their opinions on the happenings of Dundalk FC on and off the field. And I'm going to jump a couple of days back because there's only one game we can start with, and that's Shamrock Rovers 2, Dundalk 4 after extra time. Roy, what pleased you most about that display?
I think the performance of every, from the goalkeeper up to the, I think they were fantastic. Every player gave 110%, John. And even when Rovers drew, you knew Dundalk were going to come back. I thought even McMillan, they just worked their socks off. Yeah. And they've got good goals, and Stephen O'Donnell's goal was the icing on the cake. I don't think you could fault anybody in the team, John. Mm. But I think some of Rovers' tackling was unreal. I mean, the referee let an awful lot go. I mean, Dylan Connolly was lifted out of it. And
oh, yeah.
I was seeing him last night above the game. He's still limping. And the referee, he was hardly going to give it a card. And you have Bradley Cause.
I don't think he gave a free kick for her, no. Even.
You had Bradley calls them a lee, and then he walks away as if he'd done nothing to get everybody else involved. But I think the performance, John, was outstanding. And doing it up in Tala, and the way that we were treated, it was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm still thinking about it. It was great. Absolutely.
They have great character, Gussie. They're never beaten legs, and that's a great sign in the team, isn't it?
Yeah, but just as Roy said, going into the game, John, like the amount of players that we were missing.
Hmm.
You know, there was Chris Shields was doubtful. And Vanillin came off after maybe 20 minutes, and you had no Mountainy. And with McElhenney, like, we had five or six probably regular good first team players. Now you went into that game, you know, it was touch and go, you know.
Yeah, we were using up our bench because we did a lot of young fellas there too.
Yeah, but like the five or six players that we were missing are really top class players in the dark side. And no team could afford to do without them. And going into the game without them, you know, and to get the result that we got, that's what surprised me, and that's what I enjoyed about it, to go out.
Yeah.
And like, we lost Dylan Connolly, we lost Venelin during the play as well. Like, and they're massive big losses for us. But,
yeah,
you know, the people that came in done quite well, and everybody was surprised that Chris Shields would come on maybe 20 minutes
were told he was out for the season.
And, you know, Stephen O'Donnell was excellent because we were all a wee bit weary of him lately, that maybe he can't get through the games.
No.
But he could show 120 minutes. But it was a great team performance, a great effort.
Was there anyone impressed you, like, more than the other, or just leave it at that it was a team performance?
Well, I thought maybe O'Donnell impressed me very well. I thought the back four, as usual, are very, very solid.
Yeah.
You know, they probably let us down at the start of the season, but they've come into themselves, and you can see the amount of clean sheets we have at the moment. And well, there wasn't one the other night, but in previous games. And I just thought it was a good team performance, and it's always great to beat them. Not once, but as many times you played them.
Nicholas, you're not a patron of Tala.
No, John.
Do you want to tell us the story? No. You just don't go up to see them, that's it.
No, I said, John, I very regret missing that game. I regret not being able to go away to to tell it, but I'm not the only one. I was quitting quite a number of people last night in the bar, and I was surprised a number of people said no, I don't like Tala. I find the atmosphere very intimidating.
Which it is.
It is.
I can vouch for that.
You can vouch for that from some of the guys who are up abusing you, and that's the only way to put it, John. I believe were the guys in the 40s and 50s.
They weren't teenage supporters,
And I saw that before the Setanta Cup final. Some people then were complaining that they couldn't get a ticket. I think Rovers only gave 600 tickets. I heard on the outside too, the toilets were locked. And some of them couldn't even get across the road.
They locked the toilets at half time, the ladies' toilets.
Yeah.
So,
don't know.
God love them. Where could they go after that?
I don't know. But on overall, the result, when you look at that, and to beat Rovers again, and for them to lose a cup final in their own home ground, and then losing that game, you know, I think Gussie is right about this team. That's character, John. That's what you'd hear about years ago from the great Man United teams, like, you know, Rovers 60s. Yeah, they're never out. They're never down. They may be down, especially from reading reports, they were ahead on the play, and then they fall a goal behind.
Yeah, they went behind 10 minutes, and of course, it was worse to concede that goal because Finn scored it.
Yeah,
when an ex-player scores it again. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And then the 2-1 with 5 minutes to go.
And then another ex-player comes to level 85 minutes.
Yeah. But interesting, I was reading about that Stephen Kenny brought the team down again as he did
in the cup final. Yeah.
In front of the Dundalk supporters.
Yeah.
And seems to generate the energy. But to do that, you know, it's not praise. I mean, to go to the cup final, and Rovers must be sick, especially the so-called, they are called, the cup specialists. But it's 30 years since I won the cup.
Yeah, it's 31 now, right?
It's 31 now. And I tell you one thing, if I was Stephen Bradley, I'd be looking at my bag. I can see Harry Kenny moving back there as a director of football, and your man being known as a coach.
Right. Well, we read a lot about this Rovers team, and you're after mentioning Bradley. What would you think of this Rovers team, Roy? You looked at Rovers teams down through the years, the same as myself. I'm on record here most times we play Rovers saying they wouldn't lay some of the Rovers teams that I played against.
I think they're completely overrated, John. I mean, the press has them up to as high as the Eiffel Tower.
But the manager doesn't help either, Roy, does he?
Well, you took 9 sentences off this year, John. The discipline in that team is not good. And he was sent off once or twice himself.
Yeah.
The discipline's not good. You know, and they're talking about Trevor Clark and young Bulger and these fellas. They're going to be superstars. You know, I don't know where they come from.
Yeah.
The manager is definitely carried away, John.
Yeah.
This Rovers team. And I think their staff as well, because they just think there's nobody like Rovers. And there's the knock out. We won a league there. We won the League Cup there. And we have to knock them out of the Cup. I think it's fantastic. It'll make them think, maybe. I think Ronan Finn says, Dundalk's not Rovers. You're right, we're not Rovers. We're Dundalk. Far better than Rovers.
Yeah.
We're the team, I think, to watch at the present time over the last few weeks. And you were saying that, you asked Nicky just for who impressed me. I thought Jamie McGrath has impressed me over the last few
years. I think he's come of age, hasn't he?
I think he's coming right now. He's the one player that impressed me. But I think Rovers are most certainly overrated, John.
Gussie, what player in the Rovers team would you take for Dundalk?
Oh, God, John.
The bones out of that one.
Yeah, you're right. Would there be any of them good enough to play with
Dundalk? That's why I'm asking the question, because we're reading so much about them.
You know, you just look at the gap between Dundalk and Cork and Rovers. We have 15 points ahead of Rovers.
Yes.
And there's a goal difference of 40 more goals we have scored than Shamrock Rovers.
Yeah.
So I couldn't really see anybody that I would take out of Rovers squad that may come into our team. Couldn't. You know, in saying that, John, a lot of Rovers players probably are good enough footballers, but with the likes of the manager and the backroom team that he has of Kieran Gilduff and McPhail, those boys were...
And the fitness coach that was sent off?
Yeah, well, look,
he was thumping everyone?
No, but those two boys there, Gilduff and McPhail, they were footballers. And I think there's a lot of... There could be a lot of average players in that Rovers team if they were allowed to play football instead of maybe getting niggly and getting stuck in your face. And if they were allowed to play, or if they were let play...
But have those guys an input into the team? That's what I'd like to ask and like to know. Because you look at Stephen Kenny and Vinnie Pert, and their two heads are always together. But you never see that with Bradley. He doesn't call them out of the box. He doesn't go in the box and talk to them.
Was,
you know, if you are a coach like that or an assistant, surely you're there to assist.
Well, if I was McPhail and Duff, or Duff, yeah, and McPhail, I'd be looking at the Rovers situation at the moment. And as Nicky said, like, they can't go on the way they're going with the manager. What's his name again?
Stephen Bradley.
Bradley. I don't think they can go on with him, because unless these two boys see something in the back room, that's maybe they're hanging on.
Mm. Well, we done the game with, we were bet them 3-0 last year, and I said, do you look at him, because he hasn't a clue what to do.
Yeah.
You know, and he still gives me that impression every time I see him.
They're definitely, they're, you know, still a long way behind.
Yeah, he talks a great game in the paper, but there's 4 or 5 of them going to England, and there's 3 or 4 of them will be internationals before in another year or so.
Yeah. And he's,
now, where that evidence is, I can't. Keeps, you know, and it's certainly not in the league table, is it?
You know, he keeps talking about a 5-year plan, and the supporters recognise this, and that's why they'll be patient. Well, there want to be a lot of more patience. If you think the discipline, 4 sending offs against Dundalk and 9 altogether in the now that reminds me of the Sean Connor team that we had. We didn't
know who
was going to stay on the pitch.
Yeah, we done 18 that year.
Got 18. Now this fella, and the Rovers team, John, of years ago were a football team.
Yeah.
These guys are, in my opinion, they're a physical team. And that's quite obvious, but they'll go out, intimidate, try and get injure a player. I'm not saying deliberately, but just too physical. And I agree with Roy. I don't know where the hype is coming, like, but Rovers, like, you know. In the
I'd love to talk to one of their old players to get his impressions.
Funny issues. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Like, you know.
Yeah. I'd love to be talking to one of I'm thinking of the old guy that you faced up many times, Ronnie Nolan, that type of player.
Yeah,
that was a footballer, you know.
Yeah, we used to meet Ronnie regular because he was manager of UCD. It was UCD, wasn't it, Gussie? When we played them in the Leinster Senior League.
No.
I remember Dundalk played. It was for a charity many years ago, the 1958 Cup teams.
Hmm.
And Ronnie Nolan was on that team. And Jim McLaughlin said after the game, I wish I could have signed that player years ago.
No.
He picked out Ronnie Nolan.
Yeah,
now, you compare him to the present Rovers team. They're hype, as Roy says. They're all hyped up. But, you know, I don't know if I was a Rovers supporter, I don't know, but all you heard about this academy, they've got this wonderful academy they have. They're going to get the conveyor belt going again. Yeah. And all. That's all
they're
right.
They're spending millions on academies in England, but they're still buying from Timbuktu and Timbuktu.
Exactly.
Haven't they?
How long is that going to last? 30 years? 31 years? Well,
I don't know, but if you're going to go by them, there's not many coming out of them.
No.
English players.
Bank of Ireland, John.
Bank of Ireland is right, Gussie. I knew you'd know because you have your banks off by heart. You're in them every day. Now, Saturday. Finn Harps versus Dundalk. Wasn't it a scream to see the pitch itself? We're trying to sell this League of Ireland and to take us over to Finn Park where it was a disgrace.
Alan Cawley, I had to agree with every word he said on television. He said exactly what you said. Trying to sell, he says, the League of Ireland to people who are sitting at home, and we look at a pitch, he says, that was like a ploughed field.
Yeah.
And he's absolutely right. And I have to go back. They narrowed the pitch to something, though. You think it was actually being ploughed, John.
Yeah.
And then your man Connolly was taken out again by Mark Timlin. Now, right in front of him was Paul Chute, the referee. And if ever saw it again, you'll see when Timlin falls to the ground after taking Connolly out, he looks up and you can see in his face, read it, saying, I'm gone here.
Mm.
And your man gives him a yellow card. I mean, it was ridiculous, like, you know. Absolutely. But I agree to go back to the pitch, John. Player as Alan Cunningham could have easily broken his leg or an ankle on that pitch.
But in fairness, Nicky, they had no game in that pitch for 3 weeks and they had all the time in the world to get it right.
Yeah, agreed.
I never seen a pitch like it in my life. It was a pure and absolutely disgrace.
Absolutely, I agree with you, Chris. Three weeks to prepare. Yeah.
And they turn up the pitch like that, and nobody can play football on it.
No, nobody can play it.
And they're going to be led away with it.
So we televise a game like that, a pitch where the champions can't produce their football. And I'm sure Finn Harps can't produce whatever they produce. It's a bad advertising for League of Ireland football, no matter what way you look at it. And how do you televise a match like that and not do the semi final of the FAI Cup then? Yeah. The most prestigious cup that's been played for. Where are they coming from there? Whose fault is that? Gosh, you have any ideas? Enlighten my mind.
Well, John,
it has to be OTE.
Has to be OTE picking these games. And
well, they'll tell you the budget was on, but it wasn't on OTE too.
Which?
The budget was on BBC or OTE one.
Yeah, but I it amazed me how they come up with the idea of showing the Dock and Finn Harps instead of going to the semi-final of the FAI Cup.
They shouldn't repeat. I think it was Dragons Den that night. Instead of showing the football, there was no schedule problem, like, you know what I mean? Should repeat or something.
No,
they would have tucked up.
Well, they wouldn't like to walk in and try and sell League of Ireland football to the Dragons if that was the way it was.
Yeah. Huh? Because Finn Park was scandalous.
What would I say? We'll go back to last night's game. I suppose with all the injuries and everything, we knew Dundalk would be struggling to get a team out but. In the end, we got the 3 points, and that was the aim of the whole thing, wasn't it? Keep dead Cork sweating.
Yeah, I mean, you look, John Bree had most times the 10 men behind the ball. They defended as best they could. But we got good chances in that game, John.
I
thought we played well. We played some good football, even the two young ones that came on. But it was just hard to break down Bray. But it was great that the goal came. But they never stopped enough, and they played some great football.
Yeah.
Good interpass now, but we are missing an awful lot of chances, John. I mean, we need somebody to be able to get the ball into that. We got enough chances to win that game easy.
Mm-hmm.
And Bray got a fair chance. I was impressed with your man Aaron Green, the centre
forward. Yeah, he done a hell of an amount of running, didn't he?
He put himself about.
Yeah.
But
Stephen Kenny had him with Shamrock Rovers, you know.
Yeah,
that's right.
And at one time. Then he went to Limerick and went
Sligo, I think. Sligo, Limerick and Bray. Bray or something, yeah.
Yeah, but when they thought there was going to be trouble in Bray, he was mentioned to be coming here. Green, but I don't really know. But Harry Kenny had him well organised, Sean. And Harry played well in goal, you know.
Yeah. What was your take on the game, Nicky?
I agree with Roy there. I mean, 10 men behind the ball. We still took our chances.
I messed up Brendan Dunne's a good tone again. You can always rely on the Brennans.
Yeah, I said when he was fouled and he went, you could see him warning or saying having words with young Shane Grimes. I said to somebody, that fella, the head's gone. And of course, he went straight up. With some you wouldn't see a street footballer and barges into Shane Grimes, and of course got the yellow card, and then sarcastically claps the referee and all red cards right in front of the manager. I'm sure the manager Harry Kenny must be very impressed with that, And then the other guy, who he's a very tricky player, but he's always liable to get a card too, Gary McCabe. He was at fault for
next
the goal.
Next Shamrock Rovers man.
He lost the ball at the centre circle. And that's when the goal came. And when the boys were said the next thing, I saw the referee giving him a yellow card. You know, if you have that type of player in your team, you know, you must keep, as Stevie Kenny says, you have to keep your man on the pitch. And he did pay a compliment to his own players, Stephen Kenny, when he said that they keep their discipline, even when they're provoked.
Yeah.
And that's a sign of a good team. A sign of a good team too, John, I think, is, you know, they could have easily gone up to Finn Harps and Ashcroft. That's the point. So we are second anyway. They didn't. They won that game, and they won they went after Bray again to keep, as you say, Cork and Tenderhooks, which is a very professional thing to do, I think. And so,
well, Stephen Kenny will tell you he wants to win every game, no matter what it is.
Somebody said Stephen.
I'd say if you wanted to play Tiddlywinks, he'd want to beat you. Do you know what I mean? He's that type of guy.
And that's what you want—a winning mentality. Win every game, and now particularly now in the cup final, every player will be playing out of his skin to get on that team.
Yeah.
And I thought the referee was good last night, Sean.
I thought he handled it well. Yeah,
one of the better referees. Yeah. And he took no nonsense.
So some of them very fussy, and then when you see free kicks that are free kicks that don't give them, you know, and they ruined the game before that, giving free kicks for nothing.
I was impressed with the game very well, and he was no nonsense referee. If he called you back, you come back.
Yeah.
That's what I liked about him, you know.
We were all, of course, waiting to hear the news from Dalymount Park. There was no score with Bowes. Anyone that watched it last night was telling me this morning it was a terrible game. But the champion is still on ice, as you say, Nicky.
Well, there's not much ice around that trophy. There wouldn't be as many ice that sucked the Titanic, John, like, you know.
Yeah, and correct.
That's the way. And, you know, they have to be nervous at this stage, Cork. You know, I know they only need 1 point out of three games, and they said, they should get that.
They only won 2 games in 8, Nicky.
Yeah. 2 out of the last 8.
Yeah, they're not scoring.
I don't think they've only scored 1 goal in most of their games.
Yeah, so they
haven't got 2.
They're not scoring, so...
Because he's head of Sean Maguire supporters club.
We're just reading different things in the newspapers there where Shepherd was supposed to be interested in coming to the dock. But he hasn't scored since June.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, you're looking at centre forwards and...
Been through a bad patch.
He's been through a very bad patch at the moment. But like, the three games, they played Derry Sunday, like, and on Monday...
Mm. That's on television, you were telling me too, isn't
that's
it?
That's right, that's yeah.
Well, that's in Turner's Cross.
Mm. You know, a full house. Hoping they'll be getting.
But Derry have still something to play for because.
Well, they're a point behind Rovers for a game at hand.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not a gimme, like, sure it's not.
Derry, well, you know, the top four positions seem to be safe enough. You know, they've seen that they'll get Europe and say Derry, so. But
I thought it'd be big prize money.
Yeah, but, you know, I say it's getting into Europe and it's a big game of Monday.
Which I'm talking Cork in the Cup Final 36. You know, foregone.
Something that sort of caught us all off the mark was Conor Clifford. It was sad to see that, wasn't it? Like, we touched on it last week, Gussie. But, like, you know, when you read about him, he was having 5-er accumulators and 10-er accumulators, like, you know, and...
What were we doing ourselves?
It's 6 months everywhere across the globe, you know.
I'd imagine he's not the only player that's, we say, having a wee better or small better. And as you said last week, John, he was playing down in the lower divisions, so you wouldn't be having mega money on that was going to sort of interfere with the results of one way or the other. Like, but, you know, I think it's very, very petty that things are done.
Sure, if he could give his sister the bet, he'd be still having the bet, wouldn't he? Yeah. No.
Well, no. I'd see, obviously, he was doing it himself.
I mean, that's the thing. Yeah. But I mean, if you were giving your brother or your sister, go in there and do that bet for me, he'd be still playing football, wouldn't he?
In fairness to you, like, when you go into play football, you know the rules and you know that you can't do these things. And why wouldn't he give it to somebody else rather than maybe going and have to do these things? But they know the rules.
But they're around and they're gambling back and horse and everything. So hadn't Michael owned a few more of their own private bookmaker and everything there?
Yeah. How many footballers do we read when they retire all the money they lost gambling?
Yeah. Well, your man spent some money there recently. Was it Wayne Rooney?
That was in slot machines, that wasn't betting on football.
Yeah. You see,
football.
One of the things, John, I think what happens to these young players when they go to England is boredom.
Yeah.
So, and Niall Quinn draws on that in one of his books that, you know, you're trained in the morning, whole afternoon to yourself, gambling.
Hmm.
Some players gamble, others maybe on drinking. But and it's boredom, I think, in several of these cases.
They've that much money, they don't know how to spend it.
That's what's wrong. Exactly, John. That much money, they don't know how to spend it.
Oh, here we have a text from Blarney. You'll be delighted to hear, right? Oh, yeah. Well, John, enjoying the show as always. I have three quick points, John, if I may. Very disappointed with Stephen Bradley. He started the trouble on the lane and then walked away as if he knew nothing. They should be using the video evidence and he should be penalised afterwards. Two, they talk about Rovers being the best club in the league. The attendance on Tuesday night was 3,473. The 600 people from Dundalk gave Rovers, that left them with 2,080 of their own fans who have been supporting them, living in the area with a population of over 100,000. And Dundalk get an average of over 3,000 with a population of 40,000. And the third point is, my last comment, John, is still that there is not enough going to see this wonderful team. I didn't get home to Blarney till 2 o'clock that morning, Tuesday morning, when it'll be Wednesday then, but it was worth every single mile, and we see you in the Aviva. That's Andrew Emmett, Kieran Macken in Blarney, Commander Town. And three good points there.
Yeah.
Would you take any of them up, Nicky, at all? Like, you know, it is... You know, like we get 3,000 out of a population of 40,000.
Yeah, but it's a very good point, and it's a very good point to make, John, about there should be more people going to Oriel Park.
Yeah.
I don't think people...
Why, but what's wrong? We can't play any better.
No,
we can't do any better as regards winning trophies.
Yeah, well, I think... Why? One of the reasons, I think, John, that there's an awful plenty of people around here consider themselves football fans, but they're Barstool footballers. What I mean, of football fans watching television too much instead of going up to Oriel Park, you know, the old saying, John, you'll never know what you had until it's gone.
Yeah.
And this is a wonderful team. I mean, we just take people a bit complacent. Three cup finals in a row. Now, I was
record thinking, for the club.
Record. I was thinking this only this morning. The first cup final I can remember Dundalk playing in was 1958.
Good man, Nicky.
It was 19 years after that before Dundalk had a cup final.
And Shamrock Rovers too.
Against, exactly, in 58. And 77.
We didn't concede a goal that year.
Not right, correct.
And Hennessy missed a penalty for Rovers.
And Ted McNeil.
Then a grobbler.
He did a grobbler. He upset your man. I was talking to Ted about that many years afterwards in the Shamrock bar. And he told me, I asked him, was it true? He said he has still the letter at home. That some fella sent him a letter to say, if Hennessy gets a penalty, dive to your right. And it was signed, I Hate Rovers.
Yeah,
that's right. And the other thing, do you remember in those days too, that the referee had to come from England? They didn't trust.
Yeah.
And the guy who was refereeing that game that day later became a minister in the Labour government, Dennis Howell.
Oh, good man. You're well up in your referees and ministers.
So I said 19 years after that before we got a cup final with Jim McLaughlin.
Yeah.
19 years. And still...
Here we are getting three in a row.
Three in a row.
And some people have still won't come up to see
it. Still won't come up, you know. Yeah. I don't know what they're looking for.
Why would you say, Roy, what's happening here that we're not getting...
John, I just don't know.
There was a time last night I thought there was going to be nobody in Oriel. And all of a sudden it filled up. We didn't get in attendance last night.
No, God, said there was
2,000.
We should be getting at least 3,000 a week, maybe between 3 and 4, I think. Yeah. Where we are playing.
I know we're talking about we should be, but can you... Like, fellas tell me, I wouldn't go up there, I haven't been up this years, and it'd bring them bad luck and all this business. You know, where are they coming from?
Yeah, funny, somebody said to me during the week, I won't go to the cup final. I said, why not? The last time I was at them was the cup final and the loss. I think I'm a jinx.
Yeah, like, they're not playing. Like,
I said, you are playing. I said, exactly. So come up anyway, like, you know. If I get back into it, like, you know.
Have you any idea, Gussie, why the crowd's not turning up? They're not going out to the Greyhound meetings either.
How many games have you played this year at home in Oriel? We have 20 between cups and all.
Yeah.
Well, I think the crowds at the moment... For this season, could be around about 80,000 people having through the turnstiles in Oriel Park.
Right.
You know, so you're talking, if it's 20, it's 4,000 a game, or if you're talking 23 or 4 games, it could be 3,500.
Well, it can't be if you're only reaching 3 most games.
Yeah, but you're on about people and they drift away, they don't come back. You know, the Shelburne Dog Track was closed for 9 months. And people don't go back there anymore because they got out of the habit of going. It's just unfortunate these things happen. That you're going to these places for years and years and you get out of the habit of going, you don't go back.
Yeah, but they're still football fans. They'll still talk about Dundalk.
Yeah, they probably will, yeah.
That's the mystery to me. Like, I know all it is to go a couple of 100 yards the same as the rest of us and you're in Oriel Park. It's not out in there. It's not out of the town.
Cork, John, the two games against Dundalk below in the league, over 6,000 of them. And they're probably only averaging maybe 3,000 or 4,000 in the rest of the game. So they're dropping 2,000 people, you know what I mean?
And they have a bigger population, Paul.
It's a bit of a mystery. Like, you know, Stephen Kenny, one of his first interviews I done with him, told me like that we won't always have these players. Yeah. That, you know, and we've seen that we've lost Hogan. Look at the players we lost.
Yeah,
Towle. You know, Boyle.
And he
was right.
A big football town.
Shawnee Maguire.
There's the secretary of the supporters club coming in now. On that high note, we're going to have a break and I'll revive myself here for more in the second half.
This is Dundalk FM.